So welcome everyone to a new episode of The Incongruent. I'm here with my first year, soon to be second year, Mikhail Skorniakov, a budding flutist, saxophonist, and advertising exec of the future. We just had a wonderful conversation with my own music tutor, Maxim Montsov. Mikhail, tell me, how did it go?
I think it went really well, even though it was rather short in my opinion, but there are lots of key takeaways for me personally, especially on the part that I actually have to push myself to actually perform, because in my personal practice with saxophone, once I found the sweet spot when I'm confident with all the scales, I can practically play any sheet music that I wish to play, being this comfortable. But after speaking to your tutor, I really should rethink maybe pushing myself to this out of my comfort zone to actually perform so I can grow. But yeah, I think this was the key takeaway for me personally.
Wonderful stuff. Thank you very much. And so here we go. We're going to look straight into it. And here is our new episode of The Incongruent. Hurrah! Okay, I'm here today and I'm really happy to be joined by two amazing musicians. I have Mikhail Skorniakov, who is one of my students in the Advertising, PR, and Branding course at Middlesex University, Dubai. He is also a phenomenal saxophone player. At least that's what he tells me. And I'm also here joined by my own teacher and tutor, Mr. Maxim Montsiev, whose name I regularly destroy. And we're here just to talk today, unusually, about the idea of music as a creative career option. So just to begin with, I thought I'd just allow my two guests here to introduce themselves. If it's okay, Maxim, I'm going to ask Mikhail to begin, and then we'll go into your career. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
So Mikhail, tell me, what's your music history? What's your background?
Yeah, so basically in 2018, my family decided to move from Russia to Switzerland, and so I changed schools, you know, changed my whole life, and starting in a boarding school in Switzerland, many of my friends were already like established musicians, and you know, it was just to fit in the whole boarding school with my friends and stuff. So this is how it started. So I picked up because one of my best friends was Armenian. So I actually started with Armenian dudu. So I played Armenian dudu for a year and studied it. I had a private tutor. Then I actually in 2019, I moved to flute. From 2019 to 2020, I played flute. And then in 2020, I actually decided like I really enjoyed one of my favorite musicians that I listened to are from Sade and Ben E. King, you know, so it's mostly jazz. So I decided I have to try a saxophone. So I asked my dad to get me a saxophone. He got it. And yeah, then I just started it. And yeah, here I am now 4 years later. I enjoy myself.
That's great. That's a wide variety of different instruments bringing you to where you are today. Maxim, how does that match with your own?
I think we have lots of things in common because I also used to shift from one instrument to another. As usually, as most of us, I started with flute, block flute in German it's called. And then I shifted to clarinet. First it was a small kid's clarinet and it's a proper clarinet. And then I was like, no, it's not a cool instrument. I want a cool instrument. And I decided to switch to a saxophone. And this was my first conscious decision in life, I think, to from clarinet to saxophone. I was very proud of myself. Yeah, well, then there were some other instruments also. Like a professional musician, we all are supposed to know how to play piano. Of course, we also all play piano, not professionally, but at some average middle level, something like that. And during the time of my college studies, I was also practicing bassoon, just because we all were supposed to have some additional instrument apart from our main. So I chose bassoon, just, I don't know, it's cool also. And very interesting, very like, it's a lovely instrument. Yeah, I really love it. Yes. Also I tried to do, but it was too hard for me. But it's a really nice instrument. It is very flexible, the sound is so rich and so soft and nice and so pleasing. It's a really good instrument. But I found it a bit hard for me because for one simple reason. It's just because when you play the duduk, you're supposed to do lots of bendings. You need to bend the pitch a lot. And you do this not only by your breathing and lips, but by also by moving your fingers smoothly. So by opening and closing the holes very smoothly and slowly. And as soon as I have some scars on my fingers, I cannot do this very smoothly.
Yeah, I definitely agree you on the Duduk point. That's like one of the main reasons why I decided not to take it any further. But at the start, I guess I was just really lucky as I was learning it from my friend, and his family has been playing Duduk like for generations. So he's really good at it. And that's what actually started my passion for wind instruments as a whole. And yeah, but definitely hard.
Totally support your passion. Go ahead.
In terms of making money, because that's one of the things that we're all about. We're all about the coin here, Maxim. You said you're a professional musician. Tell us a little bit about how you progressed from college to becoming a professional music maker. Because you down here with a few things. You teach, you perform or have performed, and you're also a composer. Would you tell us a little bit about those three different paths that you got?
Yeah, one of important people in my life, he once asked me, like, Maxim, what are you really doing? There are so many things. Can you already decide or something? Like, I don't understand you. To me, it seems, it looks sometimes also like this. Like, I'm trying to shift from one thing to another just because I'm interested in everything. And, well, trying to check different stuff. But look, so how it started in the age of 3, my parents brought me to the music school. And here, this is where everything began. They started teaching me music, uploading some knowledge into my head. And I was not understanding what's going on. But little by little, this stuff started making sense. And I decided to become a musician. First, it was after music school. We have college. It's not something higher education, like in America or something. It's associate's degree, something between the 9th grade in the year in the school and the university. In college, I was studying saxophone, and then I decided to do conducting. So my higher education, my specialist degree is a conducting. And while I was doing conducting, I started also making some music, and now I'm doing both. I mean, conducting, music, and sax.
What is the biggest thing that you've conducted?
The biggest thing that I conducted is Tchaikovsky Orchestra. We have the Tchaikovsky State Orchestra in Moscow, and there is a very famous orchestra in Moscow, very big, conducted by Maestro Vladimir Fedoseev. And I was a participant at his masterclass. It was a big, big, like, responsibility. And a big joy for me. Also, there is another experience. Like, I made my own orchestra in conservatory because I was bored, because I had some jazz background. Now I'm studying classical music, and I decided, okay, why not join this together, join some musicians, you know. Some of my friends, I have some bass players, drummers, and I was like, they are practicing, you know, alone in their rooms. And I was like, why not, you know, joining together and making a band? So we started doing an orchestra. It was like 25 people. It was symphonic jazz orchestra. And we used to do some music, like dance music for balls. We have a Viennese ball in conservatory. And also we were invited 2 times to Austria, to Vienna, to perform, to do the same thing in Russischer Ball in Hofburg. It's the king's residence in Vienna. Yeah, so they also host a ball there. So yeah, we were invited to perform some also interesting events. And then here, when I came to Dubai, me with my friend, he is also a producer, he's a musician professional and a teacher. We made an orchestra here in Dubai, and we also made a concert in Toda.
How does Mikhail become part of your concert? Mikhail is relatively skilled. He wants to come and join your band. What would be on a musical CV that you would want him to have?
That's an interesting question. Let's start with this so-called CV. Actually, for us, for musicians, there's no such a thing as CV. Like, words cannot describe how do you play. There has to be, I don't know, some video, of course, right? Some portfolio. But if you want me to be more specific, it is something like we have some set of skills hard to match others. For example, this type of things like good pitch, right? So when your notes, like when let's say if you're playing A note, can be like 140 hertz and can be 142 hertz. And these are both A notes, but they are different. And so this A note will not match the band. This is what we mean by pitch. And the saxophone is a very flexible instrument in terms of pitch correction and bending. This is one of the requirements to be able to match. Not a big deal, I'm just saying. So it's just one of them. Another one is, yeah, be like fluent with the passages, the scales that you're doing, you know, your fingers. Be a good musician. Yeah, first of all, this is actually what I had to start with. What is your inner musician? We need to see what's your inner musician. What can you bring to the whole band? And if you match, welcome. So it is a very good thing to have different personalities, musical personality, different music opinions, because we all improvise. So we share our vision, right? Our musical vision. When you're improvising, you're sharing your musical ideas. And since music is kind of language, we say that, yeah, we're welcoming different opinions, different personalities. So yeah, I think this would be the criteria. What kind of musician, what kind of skill set you have.
Mikhail, do you have any plans to perform in Dubai?
In Dubai, I'm not sure. I'm probably just at home. That's it. But I don't have that much experience performing really for anyone, because I think when I was playing, I was actually practicing it professionally, like proper music school, proper tutors and stuff like that, and concerts and the end of the year exams and stuff like that. And I just found myself that I don't really enjoy it. So when I started saxophone, I made sure that I'm just doing it for myself, and that's it. That's why I haven't really performed that much yet. However, I do have experience playing with backing tracks and stuff like that. But I think when it comes to playing live and still with someone in a band, it's a bit different than playing with a backing track. Yeah, I don't think I can say anything more, to be honest.
Okay, so Maxim, that's perfectly fine. Maxim, what should Mikhail be doing next? He's got some intermediate confidence. What should he be doing next to take him to that? Or where in Dubai can he go to take him to the next level?
So when you're a musician, when you're an artist, let's say, since we people, we're social creatures, we like other people to be out there in this world. We would be, I think, bored if we would be alone on this planet. We want to share, and we want, even though we're not waiting for it, but we would be happy if someone would, I don't know, if we'd be able to share our art with someone and not just give some feedback. No, share emotions. That's it. You don't need to be told you're good or you're bad or something. You're just sharing emotions, and as an artist, to me, it's like kind of final destination. So you're practicing in your room alone, sitting, practicing, doing something, and then here comes the moment where when you perform, like you walk out of your room and perform, because it's actually another type of experience. And I wouldn't recommend anyone to steal this from yourself. If there is an opportunity to perform, it would be a really great thing, because you're learning another things. You're learning how to engage with the audience, how to, like, how it feels to stay on the stage, you know, it feels to share emotions, how it feels to be judged or something. And it all gives you some other, like, it challenges yourself. It is very, I think, important.
It's beautiful. That's very nice. Now, you missed the opportunity to plug yourself like crazy there, because the question was, where does Mikhail go next to perform? And that was a beautiful answer. But Maxim, we're at the end now, more or less, of our time. But do a self plug, right? Because you organized a performance which I was able to participate in. So how can Mikhail engage with you and your community?
Yeah, there is some events, like, for example, me with my colleagues, we host concerts, I think, like once in a term. So three times in a year, we host concerts in the House of Pianos, or maybe there can be different venues. It depends. And there is an opportunity for students to perform. Why not? Welcome. This is a concert of students, for other people. Anyone can come and listen. Anyone can, submit and perform. That's why we're doing this, because we want our students to fill the stage. We want them to grow. This is one place to begin with. There is other opportunities, like open mics or something. And another thing is just, as everybody is doing, you can record yourself and put it on media. This is also some kind of performance. This is also some kind of interacting with the world.
Good. So House of Pianos, which is in Coors area, just next to Al Sokal Avenue, which is awesome. But in order to do that, to perform anywhere, you need a teacher, a good teacher. How do we know what a good teacher is? Is a good teacher the kind that slaps your wrists? Because I have this idea of Russian music teachers where they're slapping your fingers and making stand on your toes and for ballet type of things. It's all of this kind of really strong teaching techniques. Is this what we should be looking for if we're having a music teacher?
Yeah, of course. The best teaching techniques. I was lucky enough not to have this type of a teacher, because I think I wouldn't become a musician. But this is not what, there are other teaching techniques, let's put it this way. Apart from that, there is different ways how to deliver knowledge, how to upload the knowledge from one, to a student's head. There is different ways, different learning techniques, teaching techniques, studying techniques. And of course, to me, like if a teacher is doing this, not for the sake of just earning money, but it is his passion, he devoted himself to teach, to bring education, bring knowledge to the world, he will be interested in that. And he will be finding new ways how to deliver knowledge. And so you will not expect this type of things from this teacher. Yeah, which I actually, to be honest with you, I completely completely understand. I know where it comes from. When 100 times you say the same thing over and over again, sometimes you are about to give up. It just depends on your own personal character and strength and patience. But yeah, it's not the thing. These are not the methods. And to me personally, I'm trying my best. Yeah, honestly, like really trying my best to work on the ways I deliver knowledge.
Any final thought?
We know that the more languages you speak, the more diversify your type of thinking. Music is also a type of a language. I would really encourage everybody to learn this new language and become a better version of yourself.
Mikhail, give me a cool exit. Give me a cool exit.
What do you mean?
Thank you very much, Maxim, for being here, blah, 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 blah. My podcast is called The Incongruent. So give me, thank you very much for being here. And it's called The Incongruent.
That's a tough word.
Mikhail Stony Kukovia.
Yeah, all right. Well,
The incongruent.
Incongruent. All right. Yeah, I think I got it. Thanks a lot for the opportunity for me to be on this podcast. Incongruent.
Brilliant. That sounds wonderful. Thank you very much indeed.